This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now, here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Right now, let's go to Rome for the latest on the Holy Father's general weekly audience with a little bit of a twist today. Ashley Nerona, our Vatican correspondent. Ashley, good morning. Welcome back.
Well, good morning to you, John. Thanks. I'm glad to be with you today.
We were watching the live video feed. As a matter of fact, we shared it on our Morning Air Facebook page of the Holy Father's General Weekly Audience out there in St. Peter's Square. Smaller crowds, but I was surprised. Most of those in the crowd had face masks on. A few didn't. But the Holy Father was not wearing a mask or any kind of gloves. That was surprising.
Right. And of course, the idea was that he would go down that center aisle, which they have actually made a little bit larger so that there's a bit more space there. But nevertheless, you will also have seen on that live feed that he did stop and speak to people along the way, prayed with people, and received some gifts as well.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising. What's the name of that courtyard? You've told us because you've been in it.
Mm-hmm. The courtyard is called San Damaso. The San Damaso courtyard.
That's the same name as the courtyard in back of Glenn's house.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, it is.
Fantastic.
The sign is kind of hard to see, but it's there. Yeah.
It's there. It's there. Right. It's there. Absolutely. Right. And today the Holy Father talking about just continuing that catechesis of how you and I are guardians of life and earth.
That's right. In fact, today the concepts we heard a lot about were hope and the importance of us all coming together in crisis. He referred to the principle of subsidiarity, which according to the Catechism aims at harmonizing the relationships between individuals and societies. So with that in mind, the idea according to the Pope today was that each individual should assume his or her own role for healing society, for the future of society. But he pointed out that doesn't always happen. He said that there are some social groups that don't end up making a valuable contribution because they are, in his words, economically or socially suffocated. And he said that because of that, some people are not free to express their faith or their values. And he said that in the Western world, we often see people who repress their own ethical or moral conviction. But he said that is not a formula for how to emerge better from crisis. And instead, he noted that very often groups are suffocated by financial companies. In other words, he was saying large companies that do not listen to the authentic needs of the people. He reflected on St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. In it, St. Paul talks about how all parts of the body are necessary. All these parts, of course, have to work together in the body of Christ. So he reiterated that every one of us has a distinct role for the healing and the future of society. And looking to the time of lockdown, he recalled that there were many people in different parts of the world who applauded doctors and nurses as a sign of encouragement and a sign of hope. Well, he said that we should extend that applause to every member of the social body, remembering everyone's contribution, thanking them, showing gratitude for people who give service every day, not only during the crisis, but every day. So he said, don't stop applauding, and that hope should be audacious. So with an audacious hope, we should encourage ourselves to dream big, and we should look around and seek and try to always strive for those ideals of justice and of love that come from hope. So with that said, he reminded us that we should be grateful to all those around us who have given their lives in lives of service, John.
There's our holy hashtag for today, hashtag audacious hope. words of the Holy Father in his general weekly audience with Ashley Narona this morning at 22 before on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We are seeing spikes in the coronavirus, especially now with kids going back to college. There's one neighborhood in Providence where a lot of Providence College students live where they've got 165 cases within a couple of block radius. What's happening now in Italy with the virus in schools and airports and sports? Are they playing in the bubbles like the athletes are playing here?
Well, you know, it's been really interesting to watch this, John, because indeed there has been a spike in cases, but there is not a spike in, for example, deaths. In fact, an incredibly low number right now by the grace of God. So what's happening in Italy? Well, after 6 months of schools being closed, this month in September, various dates in September, schools are reopening. So 5.6 million pupils in elementary school throughout Italy's 20 regions are going to go back to school. But actually, that is a little bit less. There are 8.3 million students total. That means that many families are choosing to homeschool, choosing to keep their kids at home. So as some of these schools have opened their doors, they've decorated the schools with balloons or with banners. There have been spontaneous applause for the children as they walk back in. Now, there are strict safety guidelines, and that includes, for example, children are no longer sitting at shared desks. So, for example, a bench with a long table is no longer. Only one person can be at a desk at a time, and everything is being sanitized at the end of the day. Also, many schools have reached out to local parishes for help, and various parishes have supplied church buildings so that there's more space to hold classes. Teachers, staff, they're undergoing testing. In fact, before schools opened on September 14th, 13,000 teachers and staff in Italy tested positive. Again, these are cases. So we're not too surprised, of course, as the virus continues to spread towards it's clear that it will continue to spread in this way towards herd immunity. So in the meantime, our prime minister has just made it a priority to make sure that schools reopen, universities as well are reopening, and they're having, for example, one-way walking systems. So everybody walks on the right, comes back the opposite way, and also they are opening study rooms. So they're trying to make it as normal as possible, but filling classrooms at about 50%. So we're definitely seeing a fall in size. Now, what they're doing in universities is they're timing classes so that, for example, half the students would come at a certain time and the other half at another time. Then exams they have the option to take exams online or to come in and to take them live. Now, that's all raising a lot of questions that are being discussed, which is, of course, the questions of making sure that everything is being done above board by students who might be taking an exam online. Another question that's come up is that the protocol is that if your child shows any symptoms, so say your child runs a fever or has the sniffles, well, immediately, of course, they have to go to the local hospital and have a COVID test. Well, the concern is that what happens when, as the weather is getting a little bit colder and it's flu season and it's cold season, sniffle sneeze season, and all the kids are having this issue and have to be taken out of school, and then the system becomes overrun with people having tests for this. So these are just some of the interesting things that are being discussed. Now, John, you also asked about sports and about airports. Well, you know, in the world of sports, actually, it was just announced that about 1,000 spectators are going to be allowed to attend the semifinals as well as the finals of the Italian Open tennis tournament. So this is a really big deal. Nadal, Djokovic are there competing, and so this began 3 days ago and seems to be going well. And over at the airports, well, they continue to give the rapid COVID tests for passengers that are going to various places. For example, from Rome to Milan. Results are back in a half an hour, and they're trying to, again, just curb the spread. Tests are also obligatory for any passengers who are coming from certain countries, from Croatia, from Greece, from Malta, Spain, France. And these are what are considered red zones right now. So one of the questions that's being debated right now is, of course, the oversensitivity of these tests, which will detect any antibodies that people have, even if they do not have enough of the virus to actually spread it or to have symptoms. So this is an interesting conversation that's happening right now. But due to its quick reaction to the reality of the virus situation, Fiumicino just received a 5-star rating from Skytrax. It's the first airport in the entire European Union to be recognized with 5 stars for its fight against COVID. And of course, it has to do with all the things you would imagine. For example, the presence of cleaning staff, quick testing, that type of thing. But also, they did a very interesting initiative where they turned their long-term car parking lot, because of course, hardly anyone's traveling right now. So they had all that space and they turned it into a drive-in center for coronavirus tests to be done, so people can go in. Yeah, really interesting. So one of the reasons that Rome got 5 stars. So interesting to see how all these things are being handled, John.
I don't know if you've flown through O'Hare in Chicago, but that gets 5 stars for the most expensive food that you can get out of a vending machine, including an $11 turkey sandwich that I got one day. I'm not kidding. It's like, wait, what? Oh. It's wrapped in cellophane? This is the stuff you got out of the vending machine. Ashley Noronha, our Vatican correspondent this morning with the latest news from Rome and the Vatican. Ashley, thanks. God bless.
God bless you. Take care.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Noronha every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.